Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Amen and amen. Hebrews chapter number 3. I want to get through the first 6 verses. I know it seems to we're going slowly through the book of Hebrews, but as it's been, my dad was famous for using all kinds of phrases, and one of his famous colloquialisms or phrases that he would often use, he would often say that every word is pregnant in the Word of God. In other words, it's alive and it just gives birth. We know that the Word of God is a living word, and so I hope we don't get bogged down or you get bored because we're going through this slowly. Hebrews is a tremendous book, as are all 66 books of the Bible. For those who are visiting with us this morning, the book of Hebrews, you know, were written to the Hebrew people, to the Jewish people. But yet, we glean wonderful truths out of Scripture, and there's so many things that we've been looking at about Jesus, how he's so much better. Remember the beginning of our study a couple months ago in the book of Hebrews? I called it the better book, the B-E-T-T-E-R book. Not that it was better than any other book, but that the theme of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is so much better. Chapter 1, he was better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better, better, better. Today we're going to look at it. He was better than Moses. And as we begin reading, I want to give you a thought about the background of this. A few years back, there was a debate among the Jewish rabbis, I was told, I read this here just recently, among who was the greatest among the Jewish prophets of the Old Testament. Was it Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, or was it Moses? Man, what a debate I was told they had. All these great rabbis, they gathered there in Denver, Colorado. Who is greater, Abraham or Moses? Man, you could have a debate. I mean, you go back and forth, you know, and all. But they came to the conclusion through their great minds, you know, that Moses was the greatest of all. Because out of Moses came the law. Of course, it was, we know that about the giving of law through Moses. Anyway, why that is so important, it's because in this chapter, chapter number 3, we're going to find that Paul is telling these Hebrew people, these Jewish people that was thinking of Moses as the great, if not the greatest, as one of the greatest fathers of Israel. He's telling these Hebrew people, Jesus is far greater than Moses. Remember that a lot of the Jewish believers were going back into Judaism. And that, again, is another reason the book of Hebrews was written, to encourage those who were still, those people didn't lose their salvation. They went back, sacrificed. I can't wait till we get to chapter number 6. They went back, taking their little lambs to the priest and talking about sacrificing Christ afresh and all that in chapter number 6. Well, they didn't lose their salvation, but what happened? They went back, and Paul said, they're not coming back. Now, we must go on, okay? And so the thought here, he's encouraging these believers to stay with it, to stay with Christ. Don't you go back. And here, beginning in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, let's read the first 6 verses. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, speaking of Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If, I underline that word if, and I'm not sure how much I can get into that this morning. Notice the word if, Look in verse number 14. We are made, again, it talks, it's the same thing. We are made partakers of Christ if, I underlined the word if there. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, the word if does not mean you're going to lose your salvation. We'll get to that, what he's talking about. He'll do this if you do that. He's not talking about losing salvation at all, but again, verse number 6, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The end. Now, verse number 1, notice that word wherefore. Wherefore. Anytime you see that word wherefore or the word therefore, obviously you know it's there for a reason. The word wherefore is as much as used in the same light. So it's based on what was previously said in the previous verses. There's already been a fact been made. What's the fact? Well, that Jesus Christ is better. We see in chapter number 1, I already mentioned that. He's so much better than all the prophets. He's so much better than the angels. He's God very, we looked at it in Hebrews chapter number 1, that Jesus Christ is God, very God. He made it all. He's so much better. And because of these facts, and then look in verse number 17 and 18 to pull verse number 1 together in chapter number 2. See that word again in verse number 17? Wherefore? Wherefore, based on what was previously said, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. It's speaking of Jesus. Jesus became man in order to die. Remember, we talked about this last week. God cannot die. So why did God become flesh, Jesus Christ? Why? In order that he could die, to pay for our sin debt. And that's what Paul is explaining to us. Remember, we talked about that last week in chapter number 2. Why did he have to come? Why did he have to put on a robe of flesh? Well, in verse number 17, he kind of capsulized everything we read in verse number, chapter number 2 about Jesus taking on flesh, that it behooved him, it was absolutely necessary for Christ to be made like unto his brethren. He had to, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. What a pregnant verse. So much information here. Now he becomes a high priest. He became a high priest for us because he was able to put on this flesh. He was able to relate to man because he was man. Now, I've said this time and time again. Jesus Christ was not half man and half God. Jesus Christ was fully man, 100% man, and he was 100% God. Can I understand it? No. I just believe it. I don't understand the virgin birth. I don't. How is that possible? Well, with God, all things are possible. With men, I don't understand salvation. I know the principles of it, but how can God make a sinner clean? I know through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but only God can do that. We can't do that, and I can't comprehend how God could love us. I mean, how God could love me. I could look out over the congregation, I could say, how God could love y'all. We're a motley crew. But yet God, and I can't understand that. But yet God became flesh. Jesus Christ dwelt in this body of flesh. He was sinless. He was perfect. Remember, I talked about this last week, just a little bit, I touched on it. How that the blood that was, that his body, that his flesh was sinless. And even his blood was perfect. His blood was God's blood. Now let that sink in. It was not, the blood was not of Mary, it was not of Joseph. He got his flesh from the seed of a woman, Mary, not from man. Are y'all following?
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.